On KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You're tuning in to Therapy in a Nutshell. Here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to talk this morning about something that is a lot of people tell me, and I hear from my clients, I hear from my friends and family, and it's the issues surrounding social media. And what I'm calling this episode is Social Media, a Love-Hate Relationship. Because what I hear from friends, family, and everyone else is there's certain things about social media that they really like, and there's certain things that they absolutely hate. And almost everyone I've talked to at some point has considering taking a break from social media or discontinuing their social media, and they struggle with that. So I wanted to address these issues because I actually see the whole social media phenomenon affecting people's mental health. So we're going to get into that a little bit today. I'm going to share some things that you might not have known or that you kind of know instinctively inside but you've never put words to. And I also want to help you evaluate how social media is affecting you and your life and your mental health and whether it's a good idea to continue with it, limit it, or get off altogether. So let's look at a little bit about the love-hate relationship of social media. And just to define it, by social media, I mean Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and all these mediums that will allow you to connect with other people. So fill in the blank with it, whatever app you're using. I just hear so many names, I can't even remember them all. We've all heard about the difficulties with TikTok and the media, how that's dangerous. But there's a lot of different forums that a lot of different people use. I hear older adults attracted more to Facebook or things like that. More 20, 30, 40-year-olds might be on Instagram, Snapchat. The younger kids, the teenagers might be on TikTok or Snapchat, Instagram. So fill in the whatever social media you've heard about, you use, or you watch your family use, because it kind of doesn't matter. They all have similar characteristics. So the part that I hear people really enjoy about social media is there's a sense of connection. I remember when I very first got on Facebook, it's because my kids were laughing and talking about something they'd posted or pictures that they posted, and I couldn't see them because I didn't have a Facebook account. So I opened up a Facebook thing so I could connect with what my kids and my grandkids were doing. And that was good. And then the other connection factor is I found some old friends, a dear friend, Lee, that I hadn't seen since high school. And we reconnected and have talked and been able to be supportive of each other through the death of our spouses. And I think that has been really cool. Even though we live very far away, I feel like I have my friend back in my life again. And those issues of connection and reconnection and reaching out and the fun, loving, supportive things that you get from that kind of connection are a real blessing and a real good thing. There's also can be a sense of inclusion. I make pine needle baskets, and on Facebook, I'm in a pine needle basket group. We share pictures of our work. We share ideas. You can ask questions. You can look for help when you're stuck on something or you want to expand your skills. And I really like that. That's been very productive for me, and I like connecting with other basket weavers. It's just kind of nice. So there's a sense of inclusion there with a group like that. Also, the support system that can happen. When my husband Rich was dying of behavioral variant frontal temporal degeneration, which is a terminal brain disease, he was very sick for almost 10 years. Last four were horrible. The last one was incredibly over the top, horrendous. I was on a Facebook site of other caregivers of their significant others having FTD. I swear that site really helped me when I'd be distraught or anxious or trying to deal with Rich or trying to not reinvent the wheel and how to take care of him with something. I could get on that site and I would find someone awake, because there are about 39 of us from all over the world, and we would support each other and someone would always be on or be willing to talk. So that was very supportive and very comforting, very good. Social media is also a source of information. You could post something and says, does anybody know about blah, blah, blah? And somebody will give you an answer. Now you can Google just about everything, but you could put, I'm having trouble with this recipe, or I have this stain on my shirt, and you could post stuff and someone will offer a kind and helpful suggestion. There's also a sense of acceptance. You can connect with other like-minded people. You can be accepted in a local group like Reading Crime 2.0, 530 Needs, where you're selling stuff or looking for stuff, and it's kind of like the online garage sale sort of thing. So those sorts of social media can be really productive and really helpful and very positive, can make you feel good. The other thing is there's so much humor on social media. People will publish very funny little cartoons or little memes or the different little cartoon type stuff, and it just cracks you up and it lightens up your mood a little bit. So let's look at the flip side for a moment. The social media part, the love-hate relationship, is social media can create a lot of anxiety. One of the things is this phenomenon that people tend to post their best stuff, their vacation, their beautiful pictures, the lovely dinner that they went to, sitting around with family and friends before the quarantine stuff. They post stuff that others can look at and feel left out and lonely and not included and feel like their life in comparison to what they see on social media of their other friends is lacking. And that creates anxiety. It creates a sense of isolation and loneliness. It can make people angry because they don't have what other people have. And there's also a whole lot of opinions that get thrown around on social media. And you know what they say, opinions are like certain body parts. Everybody has one. And so what can happen is people are spouting their opinions and making other people angry. So a big slamming fest can happen on someone's social media with people going back and forth with their different opinions. And it can really raise irritation and anxiety and blood pressure and all of that. One of the other things that I hear often in my office is the abuse that happens from social media, the cyberbullying, the shaming, the guilt, the basically feeling like someone's calling you stupid or someone spouting off an opinion that's obviously not well researched or based on inaccurate facts, things like that, inaccuracies. So this kind of irritation and this kind of loneliness and lack of inclusion from social media can be devastating as well. In my office, I have actually had teenagers who were cyberbullied, who pictures of them, like they sexted a picture to someone else. And when that teenage couple broke up, those naked pictures got posted all over the place and slammed through social media. And it was very devastating and heart-wrenching. So I've had kids depressed and adults upset and anxious, and it can be very, very difficult. I know some of you out there are shaking your heads. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So the question that I want to ask you before we go to break is, how often have you thought, I just need to get off of my social media. I need to not do this anymore. I need to take a break from social media. I'm going to stop looking at it so many times a day. Have you noticed that there is an addictive quality to social media? All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this. Be back in a minute.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. You're listening to the beautiful cello sounds of Stacey Nickel Miller as she plays on Randy McGinnis's Smoky Mountain Dreams CD. Randy plays with classical cellist Stacey from the Knoxville Symphony on this CD, and it is stunningly beautiful. That's the CD that my mom listened to before she died. She listened to it every night and only made it halfway through before she fell asleep. It's just so peaceful. Randy always says, do not listen to Smoky Mountain Dreams and drive. So if you want to hear more of Randy McGinnis' music, go to randymcginnis.com, YouTube, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, Amazon. Randy McGinnis, Native American flutist. All right, we are talking about social media, the social media blues, the love-hate relationship that people have with all forms of social media. So we talked a little bit about the good parts and the bad parts of social media, but what I want you to understand is that research has really shown that scrolling through social media can be an addiction. The average person spends about 2.5 hours per day, and many people spend far more than 2.5 hours a day scrolling through their social media. They pick up their phone. The first thing they do is they check their social media accounts. They see what's trending, what's going on. Has anybody clicked on their post? How many likes do they have? What does it mean that people are looking, that they're not? How do they feel about the comments people are making? And what are we looking for? Are we looking for personal validation? Are we looking to see if people like us? Do we want to see if we're seen as, I don't know, informed or intelligent or popular? What is the reason when we get on our telephones or our computers or our iPads, whatever, usually it's smartphones these days, and we immediately look at social media? What are you looking for? Stop and think about it. Where do you go first on your social media? What's the first thing you want to see? How many likes you have? How many people are there? Has anybody answered the thought that you had? Are you seen as beautiful, intelligent, smart, whatever? What are you looking for? And I'm not saying what you're looking for is bad. It's just that call to consciousness. Know what it is you're trying to get from your social media, and are you getting it? And what happens when you don't get it? When you show up and you haven't gotten as many likes as you hoped, or people aren't noticing, or they haven't said much, or somebody starts an argument and wants to contradict everything you said, how do you feel? So people spend an inordinate amount of time checking their phones, staring at their phones. Are we doing that because we're bored? We're looking for something to do? Are we looking for constant entertainment? One of the things that research has shown is that as we fragment our attention, and we look at tiny little things, and we scroll on to the next thing, and that tiny little thing, and we read a little piece of this, and we read a little piece of that, we are training our brains to reduce our attention span. And one way for you to look at this is stop and think, when was the last time you read an entire article? If you've clicked on something on Facebook that says an article, and you click on it, it takes you to that newspaper article or that whatever it is, that reporting. When was the last time you read through the entire thing, all the pages? A lot of people don't. They only read headlines. They only read like the first line of a paragraph, and they lose interest. Because our attention spans have really shortened, and we are training our brains to want the constant stimuli of that fragmented information that makes us smile or makes us laugh or makes us feel something. Because we're bored, we are getting used to the constant stimuli, and we can't stand to be sitting and waiting anywhere, sitting and waiting in the doctor's office, in line at the grocery store. Take a look around at the grocery store next time you get to go, and we're not social quarantined anymore from COVID-19. Take a look around and see how many people waiting in line are staring at their phones. If you're in a mass transit place like an airport or a bus station, look around and see if anyone is just talking or looking around. 90% of people are staring at their phones. Why? What are they looking at? It's usually some form of social media. A lot of people also use social media as their place to get information like news. And one of the problems with this is that social media is actually a form of documented significant lying. Now think about that for a minute. A post comes up on your social media, and it is a significant lie, but because it's on social media, it feels like it's documented, and because 6,000 people reposted it or clicked on it or liked it or had an argument with it, it gains credibility, even though it's a lie. And so this is actually a phenomenon known. It's actually a phenomenon used by political parties. They'll tell a lie and hope that the media picks it up and reproduces the lie and says it more and more until people see it on their social media and then actually believe that this lie is a fact. And then they get mileage off of the lie that has now become a fact. So we have to remember that we are allowing this to happen by our attention to social media. But I want you to notice that the fragmented attention that social media offers to us is a form of brain training that does not increase your intelligence, your attention span, your ability to deal with impatience or problems. It actually decreases it. And that's one of the problems with social media. So if social media is addictive, and many of us are addicted to looking at our whatever social media venue you use, how intentional is it that social media is addictive? Well, what I can tell you is that it is actually researched to maximize the addiction factor of social media. Probably everyone would recognize that gambling, you go to a casino and you gamble in the slot machines or you gamble at something in the casino, and it is engineered to make you stay. It's engineered to be addictive. The intermittent reward that happens with gambling happens at just the right intervals to keep you from getting up and walking away. So that probably wouldn't surprise anybody. But would it surprise you to know that social media is actually engineered to keep you addicted? It is also engineered to keep your attention. All the links that happen between Google and Amazon and Facebook and everything else, just watch sometime. If you go to Amazon and search tennis shoes, all of a sudden on your social media feed will come ads for tennis shoes. And you'll go, whoa, I was just looking for tennis shoes. That is not an accident, people. They are putting cookies on your site, the little tagger trail things. They are looking at what you're looking at, and they are purposely targeting you with things that you have shown interest about. And that's why social media becomes addictive, too, because all of a sudden you're clicking on those ads. Now, if you click on the ad for those tennis shoes, now you've just really upped your score about what they're going to send to you. So you're going to get 10 times more ads for tennis shoes because they see you as a potential buyer and as a potential audience. So the electronics, the computer skills, the all this technical stuff that's happening within the computers, within social media, within all these sites is not an accident that they are connected and sell to each other and gather your personal information. And all of those things serve to make you more addicted because you are more interested in seeing the things you are already interested in, so you want to see more of those things. So your social media will pull you in and entertain you and keep you from being bored. In that regard, if you stop to think of your social media as entertainment, you'll see the difference. Also, if you think about going off of your entertainment, you don't feel as left out or as compromised. If you said, I'm not going to watch a movie tonight on Netflix, you probably wouldn't feel like anyone was going to be mad at you that you didn't get on your Netflix account. But on social media, people will say, I sent you a message and you didn't get it, or I tagged you in a thing and I never heard from you. And they're expecting you to respond, and there's a certain amount of pressure that happens with that. So the scrolling can be an addiction. The actual information that comes up can be targeted to you, and it can be addicting. And it can stimulate your emotions, good or bad. And sometimes that kind of attention that stimulates your angst, your anxiety, your anger, your irritation, your feeling accepted and loved and like you're wonderful, those things can be addictive. Because in this electronic world today, we are often lonely and wanting to connect with people, but not taking the effort to go and meet with someone, sit down and have coffee. You see friends meet for coffee and they're both on their phones. So it's become a very techno world that those who do not do the technology feel left out from sometimes or angry about it. And those who do it get addicted to it and immersed in it. So this social media love-hate thing is important for each of us to use as a call to consciousness. What does it do for us? What does it keep us from doing? How does it help us and how does it hurt us? We're going to go to break in a couple minutes here, but I want you to recognize that depression, anxiety, loneliness are all way up in direct correlation with the amount of social media addiction. Let's talk about that when we get back. Going to break. Be back in a moment.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right?
So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty. You are listening to Prayers Over the Morning Breeze, Randy McGinnis's Smoky Mountain Dreams album. Randy speaks fluent Cherokee, and it is an absolutely beautiful language. Listening to him speak Cherokee is just heartwarming and very beautiful. Listening to him do Cherokee prayers at sunrise in the Cherokee language is stunningly gorgeous. So Prayers Over a Morning Breeze is a beautiful song from Smoky Mountain Dreams. All right, this is Dr. Patty. We're talking about social media, a love-hate relationship. So in my office, in my psychotherapy office, and friends, family, people on social media often tell me that social media can make them laugh and it can make them feel horrid. Really horrid. I have some friends who actually got off social media probably 4 or 5 years ago because a relative was posting really mean stuff about the family. And so it really hurt them, and they said, this is not worth it. I don't like this. I don't want to pull up something that's supposed to be fun and see nasty stuff from somebody who I thought loved me. So they quit their social media, and they've never gone back to it, and they would tell you, I don't need that. I don't miss it. People say, are you on Facebook? And I just say, no, I'm not. Call me. They'll text with you or something, but they're not on Facebook. They don't want to do it because they've had some pretty bad experiences with it. Almost everyone you talk to will tell you that they have thought of canceling their social media or taking an electronic break or a moratorium or a vacation from their Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever. And if you ask them why, it's usually because it has had a negative impact on their emotions. The things that I see in direct proportion to social media use is depression can be up, anxiety can be way up, loneliness can be huge. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't stop to think about. It can leave you feeling inadequate. You see people that seem to have these beautiful lives, and people tend to post only their good stuff on social media. Who's going to post a picture of how you look in your fat jeans? I mean, that's not what people post, right? So they tend to post good stuff about their lives and themselves. And from an outside observer's point of view, their life looks dull or horrid or dysfunctional, and you feel inadequate. Those feelings of inadequacy can increase the loneliness and depression and anxiety. Is that happening to you? If you have noticed that you feel worse when you've been on your social media, you've got to stop and say, what is it that I'm looking for and what is it that I'm actually getting? Okay, because that's really important. Those anxiety-relating disorders are significant, and they can ruin your peace of mind and can ruin your centeredness and your mental health. Let's look at some of the things that happen on social media that are difficult. One of them is cyber stalking, where people really kind of are looking at other people's posts and pictures and things like that. They don't want to really, but they want to keep tabs of who someone's doing. What's happening with people, what they're doing. Sometimes you hear people cyber stalking their partner's ex or somebody that they don't like anymore that used to be a friend that said something bad who they unfriended or whatever. So cyber stalking is a way for you to be stealth on your keyboard and not right up in somebody's face. Cyberbullying can happen. Cyberbullying is very similar to regular bullying, general bullying. And with cyberbullying, people are hoping that others will chime in and join. So let's say you post something political or religious or about your sexual orientation or something like that, and somebody starts cyberbullying you for what you posted, calling you bad or dumb or, you know, you shouldn't have posted that. And they're hoping that other people will join in, chime in, and make it sound like there's a ton of agreement against you. Now, this happens a lot with the younger set of junior high kids, high school kids, where someone will get mad at someone and they will, the high school kids call it slut shaming or just cyberbullying somebody for their opinions or who they are, their sexual orientation or something like that. And others will join in and it will take on a life of its own. And it's extremely detrimental and anxiety provoking to these kids. And I'd like to tell you it only happens with children and teenagers, but that's not true. It happens in other arenas, and people utilize that social media format to try and get a wave of disapproval, approval, others joining in. Now, the other thing I see is there's a tendency to try to get people of like-mindedness to resonate with what you've posted, and then that validates your opinion, even if it's an opinion not based on fact or some sound thing, or it's based on one of those vulnerable kind of lies that happens. It takes on a life of its own. So the cyberbullying is huge. There's another thing called trolling. And trolling is where you're intentionally upsetting people, individuals, or groups. You're trying to express a racist, religious, homophobic, political, social view in an attempt to lure people in to argue. And then a big explosion happens where varying opinions are happening and people are winding up and getting angry, calling each other names. And they're doing that for the drama and for the interaction and for the ability to take out some of their angst and their anger at people who then post something. The other thing that's similar to stalking on social media is called creeping. And that's where people are watching your stuff and it's just creepy. So they call it creeping. That's a word that my eighth grade granddaughter likes to use a lot is, oh, that's just creepy. And so stalking can also be called creeping. There's also a thing on social media called FOMO. F-O-M-O. And FOMO is fear of missing out. People will check their social media obsessively because of FOMO. They don't want to miss out on being included in something or laughing about something or getting angry and irritated and shaming somebody for something. So FOMO becomes a motivation for checking it. So let's look at the underlying issues again. If you go on your social media and you're looking for likes, what do likes equal? Do likes equal popularity? Do they look like approval for who you are and your opinions and what you are? Have we all, by human nature, been designed to want people to like us? Sure. I've never met a person yet that said, I want everybody to hate me. No. We want people to like us. Now, some people are more invested in being popular or not. Some people are more quiet and keep unto themselves. But that need to seek popularity or approval is kind of ingrained in everybody. We are social creatures and we're kind of herd animals. We like to be together. So what do likes equal to you? And I hear people say, I don't care if somebody likes that or not, but they're still looking, right? So some people really do care. So this whole idea that there's negative things that can happen to you when you post something or when you do something, when you look at other people's stuff, you don't stop to leave it, you know, stop to think about that you could be putting yourself in danger for your mental stability and your mental health. All right, let's look at the idea that social media can become a huge time sink. How often have you pulled up your social media and 30 minutes later, an hour later, 2 hours later, you've just been perusing stuff, reading stuff, laughing, commenting on people's things here and there? No harm done. It hasn't been overly aggravating or anything like that. But what could you have been doing with that time? How productive would you have been elsewhere in your life, even if it was just to read a book or to watch a movie without checking your phone? When was the last time you watched a movie without checking your phone? When was the last time you made it through a whole TV show, a whole meal, a whole conversation with a friend? I really like the idea. I have some friends that have a box at their front door, and it says, leave your cell phone here. In fact, to really encourage people, they have a power strip there and charging cords for every kind of cell phone. And so they encourage you to turn your phone off, leave it there in the box at the door and charge it, and actually go in and be social and look at people and talk. And many people have an extremely hard time leaving their phone at the door. Try that sometime. It's not easy. All right, so what happens to you when your social media gets excessive? Does it bring you down? Does it bring you joy? Do you feel more connected to others? Do you find yourself just getting ticked off and turning your phone off and walking around ranting and raving about the stupid idiots out there who feel a certain way? What is it doing to you and to your peace of mind? What do you do about that? So, in the last segment of the show, we're going to talk about if social media is detrimental to you, how do you get off social media and what can you expect as you try to do that? And what are you possibly going to have FOMO about, the fear of missing out? What's going to happen in your life if you were to limit? Can you limit? Is it kind of like alcohol? You can't just have one drink. You have to have a lot if you're an alcoholic. We're going to talk about that. So we're going to go to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167. Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, and we are talking about social media, a love-hate relationship. Sometimes I think of it as a social media blues. One reason I chose to talk about this today is we're all almost 6 weeks into quarantine, shelter in place, COVID-19. The spring of 2020 is what we're dealing with. And social media has been a connection for a lot of people because they've been so isolated. And I am not saying that there's nothing good about social media. Let me put that in the positive. There are things about social media that make people feel connected and make them feel happy. And that's important to some people. But what I'm also talking about is when social media brings you down, increases your anxiety, makes you feel depressed, not included, inadequate, concerned, left out, not popular, called names by people who are certain that their way of thinking is the best, it can be aggravating. It can be detrimental to your mental health. So in this last section of the show, I want to talk about, have you said to yourself, I need to stop social media as much. I need to reduce my social media. Some people even said, I need to get off of social media. It is destroying me. And then I see friends sometimes will post something like, I'm taking a social media break, so I won't be back on here for a month. 2 days later, there they are, posting something. And they don't even speak to the idea that they couldn't stay away from it. But I think that's happened to many, many people, saying, I just am not going to do this anymore. So let's look at it from an addiction model. One of the things that's very hard when you're addicted to something is to do a little bit of it. I have always heard, I deal a lot with eating disorders in my private practice and compulsive eating issues, and people that recognize they're addicted to the pleasure things with food or the self-gratification or the instant gratification of food, and they try to not be a food addict, they have to eat. So they're constantly kind of tickling that addiction, and it's hard for them. It's almost easier to be an alcoholic and say, I will not ever drink again, than to be a food addict and say, I'm not going to eat again. You can't do that. So from an addiction model, social media is not something that you have to do, like eating. It can be more like drugs or alcohol, where you say, I'm not going to do these anymore, and you can totally X-nay it out of your life. So from an addiction model, are you addicted to social media? And I'll tell you, there's a way to find out. After the show, when you're done listening to this on your smartphone, then what you're going to do is turn off your phone. Now, you might be able to keep your phone on because you have to get phone calls from the kids or the whatever. But can you keep from looking at your email, Instagram, Snapchat, LinkedIn, Facebook, name a bunch more? Can you keep from clicking on it? Or do you have a routine where you pick up your phone, click on Facebook, check your posts, see if anybody's tagging you in anything, look real slowly, look quickly through the first part of your newsfeed, then go to your email, check, see if you got one, look at your text, is anything coming through, has anybody tried to call you, is there a voicemail, and then getting off your phone? Are you doing that? And how many times a day are you doing that? So can you keep from checking your social media for 24 hours? Dang, let's say, can you keep from checking your social media for the next 12 hours? How about the next 1 hour? There are a lot of people out there who cannot accomplish that. The angst that rises up in them of what's happening, the FOMO, fear of missing out, starts rising up in you, and you get bored and you're waiting, or this part of the movie is dragging, and you pull up your phone and you look real quick. So ask yourself, how addicted am I, and can I put it down and leave it alone? Then there's also the issue that people expect us now to respond instantaneously. One reason I keep my home phone is my kids will call me and say, Mom, did you see my text? Check your text, Mom. I sent you a text. I'm like, oh, okay. And I go get my phone and look at my text. Because I don't check my texting every 2 minutes. I check it a bunch of times during the day. But they know if they really want me to see something important, they'll call me and tell me to check it. And I kind of like that because I know that they can get me if there's an emergency. What they're sending me is more of a question or a cute picture or something like that, which I want to see and I want to participate. But I know if there's an emergency, they have a way to get me, even if my phone is turned off. How many of you have your sleep disturbed during the middle of the night because you just simply can't turn off your notifications? I turn my phone off at night when it's getting later in the night, when I'm getting ready to go to bed. I turn it off, and I don't hear the dings and the beeps and all of that because it will wake me up. And boy, once you wake me up, I have a really hard time going back to sleep. So how addicted are you to social media? And the real thing is to use that addiction as a call to consciousness. You hear me talk about that on my show a lot. Call to consciousness. Why do I need to check my social media a lot? What am I hoping for? What happens if I don't get that reinforcement that I'm looking for? How do I feel? When does social media make me happy? When does it make me anxious and depressed? When do I get so ticked off at the world that I think they're all idiots? When do I get my anxiety fueled? And that's what we need to take a look at. So if you decided you wanted to take a social media break, and the show might be making you think about that, can you do it? I want you to think right now, you're going to take a social media break and you're going to absolutely delete your Facebook account. There are some people that are just going, no. Some people actually are reinforced by the number of friends they have. I have 1,500 friends, or I have 700 friends. And they feel included. Were you popular in high school? Did people like you? Or do you finally feel liked because you have a whole friend group on Facebook that you interact with? Is it easier for you to sit at home in your pajamas and interact with your friends socially on your phone than to actually go meet them? And I'm not judging that. That your answer might be, yeah, and I like that. Okay, but let's look at what it is doing for you and what it's not doing for you. So the biggest issue is, can you go without that which you are addicted to? If you have to smoke pot every day, if you have to drink a bottle of wine every night, what is your addiction? What is it that calls to you that says, I cope with my life better when I have this? Can you do without that? Because if you can't do without it, you have to deal with what it does for you. And is that healthy for you or not healthy for you? Is it too much? So social media, like any kind of thing that we utilize to get out of ourselves, in moderation or in a minimalist kind of use, could be fun, could be healthy. In extensive use, excessive use, and addictive use can actually be unhealthy for you, for your emotional stability. But let's look at it from another point of view. It can also be unhealthy for your brain. I want you to remember, we actually train our brains to do what we want them to do. When you train your brain to fall back asleep in the middle of the night, to shut up and stop going over everything you've ever angst about in the last 30 years, when you train your brain to not do that, your brain will begin to respond with allowing you to go back to sleep. When you train your brain to angst out about things, pull up your social media, look at stuff, get all wound up, type things back and all that, and you train your brain to actively wake up because you happen to wake up in the middle of the night, you're brain training. So when you train your brain that you need short bursts of interesting things to keep your attention, you're training your brain to not have an attention span. You're training your brain to not make it through the whole article or listen to an entire conversation or focus on the movie or look at your friend in the coffee shop while you're talking. You have this inexplicable need to pull your phone out of your pocket and open it up just to see if anybody has texted you or if anybody has clicked like on your post. What is that about? This call to consciousness is, how does it affect me? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it detrimental to my mental health? Is social media detrimental to my relationship? Ooh, now there's a big one. How many people do you know have connected with an old flame or a high school sweetheart or somebody else who is lonely, sexually frustrated, not connected with their spouse or their partner, who's reaching out to find somebody else? It's a little bit of gasoline in a match. It can ignite something that you didn't really intend to happen, but were hoping would happen, but didn't happen, but might happen, and you can play with that in your head. It's a dangerous zone for your relationship. So what are you looking for in your social media? How is your social media augmenting your life or being a detriment in your life? How often have you thought, I need to cut back on this. I need to not do it. I need to eliminate this from my life. And were you able to do that? So the challenge I'm giving you right now is set a time period that you're not going to look at your social media and see if you can do it. Okay, those of you that said 2 minutes, that doesn't count. You have to do longer than 2 minutes. Can you go 24 hours? Let's start with that. Because the people say, I'm going to take a month break from social media. I don't know if I've seen anybody do that. So there's got to be someone out there that has. But how long can you go? I know you're thinking about it. It's not easy. So really look at this. Talk with your partner if you have a relationship. Talk about how often you have felt left out or ignored when they're staring at their phone or laughing or talking with someone and you want to go, who are you talking to? What are you looking at? What's going on? And you're trying not to be too inquisitive or jealous, but at the same time, they're across the room totally disengaged from you. How does that make you feel? How does that affect your relationship? Sit down and have a really open conversation with your partner, with your kids. And how many of you are sitting there playing with your kindergartner and the kid nurse going, Mommy, look, Daddy, look. And what you're doing is looking at your phone. You go, uh-huh, oh, cute, nice, honey. And then you're looking back at your phone. Do we give anyone these days our undivided attention? I hear you thinking about that. We don't, not very often. And social media is addictive. If you think it's not, you're fooling yourself. It is addictive. It's engineered to be addictive on purpose. And guess what? It really works. Many, many of us are very addicted to social media. So trust me, this is not a judgment. I look at my own social media use and wonder about this. I've looked at the extensive social media use during this whole quarantine shelter-in-place thing and have felt blessed to be able to see my friends and family and know that they're okay, but have also recognized that anxiety is rising, people aren't feeling that great, depression and all that is happening too. Not just because of social media, but it plays a part in the drama. So I want you to take a look at it. Explore your own social media. What's good? What's bad? And how long can you go without looking at it? The challenge begins right now. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, Dr. Patty. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, where I just want to help heal the world 1 hour at a time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.